Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are enduring this week, pressing forward, letting your light shine within this darkness has been engulfing America and the church for a while. If you guys are kind of just new to the page, or I guess the website, there's several resources on here: Bible studies, spiritual Bible studies, spiritual warfare Bible studies, devotionals I try to put on every night. Of course, there's a contact where you can contact me through my website, and I have a phone number there that you can text me. Please identify yourself, and if you have questions pertinent to the Bible, I would be honored to do my best to answer those for you guys. There's a lot of heretics out there today. They outnumber us in the church. A lot of false prophets, a lot of people that should not even be up there preaching are doing it, and those that are up there teaching, they're handling the Word of God with baby gloves, and it's sad. Because the Bible warns us not to do that. That judgment is going to be great on their heads. So let's keep them in our prayers, right? We should always have that fear and trembling when we're dealing with the Word of God. If you guys missed last week, we looked at kind of revisiting some of the themes of Christmas. And now we can get really caught up. And this sermon is not going to be involving that on the birth, when was Jesus born, and etc. All I'm going to say is this: it's time of the year where people tend to be, but not as much as it used to be, more open to the birth of Christ. And Christmas, of course, is nationally, especially in America, the day, Christmas Day, where we recognize as a nation the birth of our Christ, Jesus Christ. And last week we looked at hope, and of course I hit on Romans 15:13 through the, of course, not me, but through the Holy Spirit, where we look at hope. That scripture was very important, even has joy and peace in there. And of course we're talking about joy today, or tonight. But when we look at hope, of course, we know, or we should know as Christians, our hope is different than that world's hope. And that's kind of what that sermon hit on last week. I encourage you guys to check it out. Our hope is more solid. Our hope is more anchored. Our hope is within Jesus Christ, that rock that we cling to. Is the anchor of our soul. So tonight we're looking at joy. And we're going to look at verse 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 through 9. And that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. Some of you guys may be familiar with Peter. Maybe you guys may be very familiar with Peter. When we look at Peter, we know he was a fisherman. And when Jesus called him to ministry, it changed from being a fisherman to a fisher of men. He, of course, was part of the original 12 disciples. He walked along with Jesus. And if you're not very familiar with Peter, or even if you are, I love, just looking at Jesus and ministry, and Peter was part of the disciples, the original 12. You can follow that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it continues into Acts. Peter, what we would call, he had that foot in the mouth. I mean, he would react and think after he reacted. You can clearly see that when Jesus said that they were all, man, paraphrasing, they were all going to leave him, and He was like, I ain't going to leave them all in. And then that night came and he fled. It got real and he fled. But we know that Peter was a disciple of Jesus. We know he experienced a lot of things during Jesus' ministry. We see that he's seen Jesus do the impossible. Walking on water, raising the dead, calming the storm, and of course, conquering death. And we know he's seen Jesus heal the blind and heal the lame and heal all manners of sickness. He's seen that. And what Jesus did on that cross, the agony and the pain that was seen that night, or actually be that morning, it did not being too fixed on the timeline there, because it can be a little tricky. But Peter also denied Jesus three times. Thrice in the King James Version, but three times. And this was, Peter, could you imagine Peter after walking with Jesus all that time, and then Jesus said, you will deny me three times, and you can imagine all that guilt and shame and that pain of such a denial. I know it will wreck me. It would shatter me, and I'm sure it shattered Peter. But to see Jesus after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, fully restored other than his nail-scarred hands and side, that would transform anybody. See, Peter had to learn some hard lessons, as we all do, or have to, or still do, learn these hard lessons in life. And Peter here, in our scripture reading tonight, 1 Peter 1:8 through 9, as Peter's writing this, are of course influenced by the Holy Spirit, driving him to pen these words. 1 Peter chapter 1, 8 through 9. Whom having not seen, ye love in him, though not ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Guys, bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach this sermon. I pray that your Holy Spirit just flows through me, that the words I speak are your words, that you get the glory and your honor for all. Everything that comes out of my mouth, you get the glory, you get the honor. Only your name matters. Only your name should point. Only your name should be the focus point of our lives, not our names. Our names. I just want the name of Jesus. When I finish this race, Lord, I want to say, I want my life in the end. People say that man followed Jesus. His light shine. The grace and the mercy radiated from that his being. The grace of God and the mercy. Nothing of my own, but all yours. Lord, I pray that you guide and you direct this sermon, Lord. That you give me the words to say to whoever's out there that needs to hear this. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with our nation in this time of turmoil, this time of chaos, this anger, this hate. Lord, how darkness has engulfed our nation over the years, maybe even for the decade or longer or centuries, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you are still in control and that we are still called to be that light, to rise with power, proclaiming a gospel that this world doesn't want to hear, but it will penetrate the hearts. Penetrate the hearts. And those that open their hearts truly to you, Lord, they will be yours. They will be regenerated, sanctified, justified to walk a life that is pleasing to you, Lord. A regenerated life, Lord, that points to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you be with those that are sick, those that are under depression, anxiety, and hopelessness, Lord. I pray that Lord, that they realize that the hope this world offers them is shallow. It will leave you empty every time. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you send somebody over to that person right now or through whatever means to reach that person before it's too late. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll take a little sip of tea here. Tonight, I kind of want to pull one phrase out of this. And of course, the phrase will be combined with salvation. But here, Peter tells us joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. I don't know about you. You know, when I look at this world, they don't have the same joy that I have. And I pray they don't have the same joy as you or us have as true Christians, true followers, disciples of Jesus, with a mission to go out there and to spread the gospel. You see, this world will tell you that joy and happiness, they are equal. These terms are not equal. You see, happiness is purely emotional. It is dependent on our circumstances. See, happiness can disappear as fast as you turn on a light switch and then off. It is superficial. It is shallow. It's like the way the world defines hope. Their hope. Not our hope. This world will tell you that we're in control of our happiness and we're in control of our joy. They will tell you if you get that item or achieve that career goal and getting more money so you can buy more stuff, that will bring you happiness. That will bring you joy. I want to tell you, you may can think of people in past that had or has a lot of money. I think of Robin Williams. Man was worth millions and millions, and his millions probably went to his children or his wife. And he made millions laugh, but he was unhappy. He took his own life. This is just one example. See, money cannot make you happy. But giving it to Jesus, see, some people are blessed with a ministry of being able to make money. But to take that money and to hoard it for themselves and not give it to a church or a ministry or whatever that may look like is wrong. Sometimes that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart knowing that these millionaires, they'll take that money and they will keep it for themselves. And they're unhappy. They have no joy, so they attain more and they buy more. And they can't fill that hole because the only true joy that will fill that hole is through Jesus Christ. Maybe you guys heard or hear, depending on how you want to look at it, when somebody gets married, and marriage is a beautiful thing, especially when it is under God, and when it's between a man and a woman, that is beautiful. But you may hear the terms or the phrase, we are full of joy and we are full of happiness that they're getting married, and that's all good and well, but I want to tell you, true joy and true happiness only comes from Jesus Christ. And if a marriage is not founded on that principle, you may feel as happy and joy as you will. I will mourn for their marriage, because without marriage, without God in the center of their marriage, it is doom. It may well be a funeral. Not saying God will not intervene, but marriage is designed between a man and a woman, not a man and a man and a woman and a woman, or a transy. Wherever this world is looking at how they're defining, how they're propagating this filth on television, this filth in commercials, this filth for our children in elementary schools, it's sad. They're trying to brainwash our children. We need to realize this way this world views joy and happiness. We need to understand that so we can distinguish our joy, our happiness, and where does it come from. You see, our joy is not based on us. The world will not get that. They will not get that. Until they give their lives to Jesus truly and surrender every day, beating that flesh in submission, because our joy is dependent on God. It's deeper and more meaningful than anything you can buy or achieve in this lifetime, in your own strength in this world. Our joy depends on Jesus, not what we're doing. See, that joy, that J, that O, that Y, that J is Jesus, that O is over, and that Y is you, Jesus over you. Our joy is defined as Jesus over you. Man, that's true. That is a joy. That is a joy. Peter tells us in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, that is joy of your salvation. You see, salvation is beautiful. Of course, we can think of John 3:16-18. You know, and that tells us what God, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for us. Amen. That's beautiful. You see, Mary, around this time, Christmas time, Mary had a baby. That baby was Jesus. I don't know if you're familiar with babies and how they, you know, smile. Some of them smile at you and they'll grab your finger and, I mean, it's beautiful, and they make goo-goo and gag. You know, Jesus, you know, can you just picture Mary putting her hand down on the baby Jesus, and He just grabs her hand with His little hand. That baby would grow, and that baby would have to suffer for the sins of the world. Isaiah 9:6-7 says this: for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. Upon His throne of David, upon His kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. See, that baby that was born, that baby that was delivered, will soon deliver Mary and even whoever today will open their hearts to Jesus. He will deliver them from a life of sin. a life of eternal damnation when you die not knowing Jesus. See, this baby had to grow. And we know he began his ministry. And we know that during his ministry, Peter was right there with him. And not all the time, but a lot of times and probably more times that we probably don't even know, because the Bible is not, it doesn't have all the completed works, because that's what Jesus tells us. If this, the Bible had everything that Jesus did during that time, our library, we wouldn't have enough books to cover it. And that's what he was very active, right? And he grew, and he had to end his life. He had to give his life as a ransom for us to be saved. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as he were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid upon the iniquities of us all. Jesus had to experience the cross. See, the cross was an agonizing death. You see, it was that Garden of Eden. It's where that sin of disobedience that led for a world that we live in today that is cursed. It's under the sin. It's under the curse. And you see, sin breaks Jesus' heart. It should break our hearts too. What drives me crazy is you've got these popular movements out there where they have this grace that you can do whatever you want and still be saved, that you can keep living in the sin that you're doing. It's okay. You can be a Christian homosexual. You can be a Christian fornicator or adultery, or you can be all these things. Grace covers it all. Oh, I can keep living. You see, yes, grace does cover it, but this is the thing. If you are truly a child of God, you have truly been born again. You have been regenerated. You are no longer your old self. You're new. The Holy Spirit will correct you. He will direct you, and he will tell you to stop doing that. If you don't stop, then he will convict you. If the conviction don't work, he will chasten you to a point of death. He will not allow you to keep living in that sin and saying, ha, 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 he, he, ha. That hyper grace that's being preached out there today, that's telling people they can do whatever they want, they can get in those conversations, they can blend in at work and not stand up for the gospel. I got news for you. I got news for you. There's something wrong with your heart. At the worst, you're not even a child of God. You're a child of the devil. You have allowed the devil to blind you in your hole there until he can come for your soul. And he will. You see, Jesus had to live this life perfect and sinless. And he had experienced the death that we deserve. And he took that, right? He rose that third day. We know that he ascended to heaven. But he didn't leave us alone. He left us with a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And those that truly open their hearts to Jesus, that Holy Spirit comes into your life, you're no longer the same. You're born again. You're regenerated by the grace and mercy of God. We've been justified, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Because of this, we are commanded to walk a life that is different. We are commanded to walk a life of more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, and less in the works of the flesh. Our fruit should shine. Our love and our long suffering, our goodness, our gentleness, our meekness, our temperance, our peace, faith, and joy. Joy is a product of the Holy Spirit. Joy unspeakable should radiate from us, not because of what we're going through, but because of what is living inside of us, that regardless of what everything is falling apart, I have this joy that is unspeakable. We are children of the Most High. His grace, His riches are beyond us. It's like oceans and oceans of grace that we have. And because we have that grace, we are commanded not to get away with sin, but to realize when we sin, it breaks our heart, and that we reach out to our Father through repentance and direction. Joy should be radiating from our very being. Regardless of COVID-19 or any other plagues that are about to come on our nation for our pulling God out of everything, we should not look like that world. John 16:20-22 says this: Very, very, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, for your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she delivers, her hour has not come. But as soon as she delivers of the child, she remember no more the anguish. For the joy that a man is born into the world, and ye know therefore have sorrows, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and joy, your joy no man take it from you. Meaning our joy cannot be taken from this world. This world cannot remove the joy. Our joy is in Jesus. Our hope and joy is in Jesus. We are supposed to radiate that every day until our last day on earth or until the rapture. You see, as a child of God, we have to have perspective. We know that we will not have to witness or experience the second death, that spiritual death, instead of a devil's hell that we do deserve. We will experience a spiritual life that's in heaven, and we will live there with no more worries and no more anxieties and no more sickness and no more illness, no more COVID-19. But do not fool yourself, brothers and sisters. James 1:2 and 3 here. My brother, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, knowing this, that is taking of your faith work patience, but not patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect entirety, wanting nothing. See, we will experience things in this life. We may experience things in this life that is unpleasable. But when we think of Paul and all the things that he had to encounter for the name of Christ, we should count it all joy. Especially when we're growing for Jesus. When we are persevering to the very end for Jesus. Compromise and being comfortable is not perseverance. I'm comfortable here. I don't want to disrupt anything. I don't want to cause any waves. Oh, I don't want to talk about Jesus at work. Oh, I may lose my job. Oh, I may this, I may that. Persevere to the end. God guarantee you, if you do it in the name of Jesus Christ and you're guided by the Holy Spirit, He will keep you. He will keep you. Remember, as closing, Peter got it in the end through his success and failures. He finally understood where his joy comes from. It did not come from the world. His joy came from Jesus. And our joy today still comes from Jesus. Remember J, Jesus over, O over, Y, U, Jesus over you. This world cannot understand the joy. This world will try to use happiness and joy interchangeably to try to make it fit. They will tell you true happiness and true joy comes from you. You can make it. You can manufacture it. You have control over it. If it makes you happy and brings you joy, do it. Buy those items. Achieve that career goal. Get that house and that car, that nice boat. Have that 401k and get married and have lots of children and buy them stuff. But without Jesus in the center of any of those, it will leave you empty. Our biblical joy is deeper. It's more fulfilling. It does not depend on us, but it depends on Jesus. Our joy comes from Jesus. That child that was born, by Mary, that child who would have to experience the cross and rose from the dead that third day. That third day, and He was seen by many, and of course He ascended to heaven. And He left us the Holy Spirit down here. So we can go through the things that we have to, knowing that we are not alone. Through all the pain and through all the sorrows in this life, we can bear it. We can stand. We can let that joy radiate from us through the hardest circumstances. Because as a child of God, we have perspective. We have been regenerated. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. We desire more of the Spirit and less of the flesh. More of Jesus and less of us. If you're missing that in your life, you need to re-examine your life. See, as a child of God, we are called to be a light. We are called to live a life that is different. If you choose not to, you're violating Scripture. If you choose to remain silent within wherever you're at your workplace or wherever that may be, don't fool yourself. If the Holy Spirit's not correcting you, you're not a child of God. And the devil has you fooled. You don't blend in this world. And all the lost people are laughing at you. Look at that little Christian over there. Speaking this way. And talking that way. And blending in and laughing and sipping on your coffee. What's wrong with you? And that same professing Christian looks at this world. And says, what's wrong with the world? I'm going to tell you. One thing that's wrong with this world. Is they see you. And they think we're jokes. You're one of the reasons that's one of the problems. One of the reasons the world is the way it is. Too many compromise. Too many lukewarm Christians in this world. If one person would reach out and win one soul a week for the cause of Christ, wow. I don't really remember the numbers. 80 million, I think, claim to be a Christian. I don't know. If 80 million people won one soul to Christ in a week, you have, what, 52, 53 weeks? Man, do the math. It's phenomenal. Kind of went off a rant there. Tonight, I want you to look into your heart, right where you're at. Ask yourself tonight, does your joy look like the joy in the Bible? Or can you compare it more to the way the world defines their joy and their happiness? As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to preach. I pray whoever's out there that needs to hear this message, it reaches them. That they understand the joy that we have as Christians is different than how this world defines joy. They understand that our lives have to be a reflection of a change that is regeneration in our hearts. That is a reflection of the Holy Spirit that guides us and directs us to reach whoever's around us and to have that hope and that joy to be able to explain it to them through the scripture, Lord, that we can reach them. Let our joy and our hope radiate from us every day, regardless of our circumstances in this life. Let us count it all joy when we fall in multiple temptations, because they will grow us and they will direct us, and if we let the Holy Spirit guide and direct our life, we will grow into maturity as disciples for you, Lord, to just get more of the meat of the word and less of the milk. You called us to grow, to walk more in the fruit of the Holy Spirit and less in the flesh. Lord, I pray, Lord, you just be with those tonight that attended churches, Lord, and in their areas, Lord, that I pray that the Holy Spirit fell. I pray that the Bible teachers or the preachers let the Holy Spirit take control of that pulpit or that office or where they were at, Lord. I pray, God, that you just give us the strength to endure the rest of the week, Lord, that you guide us and direct us to that lost soul that needs that joy and that hope that we have as Christians. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night. Once again, there's multiple resources on this website. You have any questions on what the Holy Spirit laid in my heart to preach tonight, please hit me up on my website. I have a phone number there. I'm working on getting a P.O. box set up. Had to take my main address off the website because we're living in a time where people are not very happy with these type of messages, and they rather see us dead if they could get away with it. They would massive, or I don't say massive, a few of us will probably be thrown in jail. May still end up being thrown in jail before it's over with. But, reach out. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.